This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 426 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and on the other end of Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender.
Hello, how are the levels? Are they okay? Is that too loud?
Thank you for that.
So what you're saying is if I put my mouth 1 centimetre away from the microphone and talk loud, it's not good for you?
No, it is not. thank you. Well, that's blown the cobwebs out of Skype.
G'day, mate. You well?
I am. And you?
You know, I'm not bad. I've had a busy morning already. We're recording on a Friday at 11:30 on a Friday, which is very unusual.
It is very unusual.
You're not doing a sickie from work, are you?
I am.
Well, what if your boss listens to the podcast and I've just said that you're doing a recording at 11:30 on a Friday?
Well, the beauty of being a contractor is I don't have to justify taking a day off. Okay. I can just say I'm not coming in today.
Today is not one of the days you'll be seeing me.
I actually have got a little bit of a cold, and I did wake up feeling pretty ordinary this morning. I decided.
Everybody, during the week, can you send in some emails to Bruce? He's a little bit of a cold. Oh, diddums.
So, got up, made myself a hot honey and lemon drink. And,
You're married, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Your own?
And your point is?
Yeah, to make your own.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If my wife's sick and I'm not the one making the stuff, I tell you, this world.
Oh, believe me, it's a completely different story if it's. Completely different story.
Fabulous.
Anyway.
Well, we'll soldier on through the podcast regardless.
We will.
Of your dying moments.
That's right.
You know? It's nice to have it recorded. For posterity, you know?
Yeah, this could be here's a quick episode.
Question. Just a quick question. If you do happen to pop your clogs whilst recording, yeah. How do I get it out to the world? Does anyone else know what to do?
Call my son Max. He might be able to help you.
There you go. Job done.
Yeah.
Feel free to fall over.
That's right. So what have you been up to in the last 2 weeks? Because we didn't record last week.
Did we record last week? Let's see. Not a huge amount. I've done a one-on-one flash workshop for a guy during the week.
Oh, yes. I saw a couple of those images on Facebook.
The lovely guy.
Yeah.
And
So was the client the model, was he?
No, the client is a friend of the model.
Oh, okay.
The model was a friend of the client.
Yeah.
So, we had done that. I've been just plotting stuff for trips and tours. We had lots of Skype meetings and phone calls and stuff with people overseas to organise stuff.
Right.
And we're trying to organise 2 tours to India next year at the moment now.
Wow.
So one in March for Holi and one in November for the Pushcart Camel Fair. So
right.
It's been a lot of back and forwards, and just waiting to hear back from the operators who schedule everything to give us details and all that sort of stuff. But crazy busy. We've got a new podcast listener.
Have we?
Did got a message from a lovely guy. We'll just call him Ray for now.
Okay.
Who hopefully is coming to Tanzania with me in February for the calving season tour. And he started listening to the podcast, so we'd like to apologise in advance. he says he's only got 400-odd episodes to listen to, and I said, no, you've got 400 very-odd episodes to listen to.
That's right.
So welcome to a new – we've got a whole new listener. So the last 2 weeks, not a lot. I did get down to the zoo.
Okay.
And did a faux safari.
And they let you out?
Yeah, I know. You know, I think it's because it was a grassland zoo, and maybe I don't look suited to that environment.
Cool.
So I'm just testing gear.
Where is Melbourne Zoo? Not that I know Melbourne intimately.
We have multiple zoos, but I didn't go to Melbourne Zoo. I went to a zoo called Werribee Zoo.
Oh, okay.
Which is an open grassland zoo, which is your rhinoceros and your giraffes and zebras are all walking across open plains as it would be in Africa.
Right. Okay. Just 20 degrees cooler, yeah.
Well, depending on the day.
Yeah. Okay.
So it kind of replicates a safari experience somewhat,
right?
But so the problem was I'm not being a much of a animal photographer.
Yep.
It's not the skill side of things that much. I'm worried about burst speeds of cameras, buffering speeds, focus speeds, testing different focusing systems that I would never use. So with Canon, on their advanced cameras, you can choose different focus tracking methods.
Right.
Whether your subject's moving in erratic directions, whether it's moving in constant speed, whether it's stopping and starting.
Yeah, right.
There's all these different modes you can dial in. And then you can fine-tune all those modes as well.
Right.
So, of course, as a people photographer predominantly, that's not something I've ever had to involve myself much with. So.
No, because your subjects will do what you tell them to do. Animals, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. So it's just a matter of going down there and just putting the gear through its paces and just trying figuring a few things out.
Yeah.
Also, I've never used my 1.4 times converter with my 150 to 600 before, so I wanted to go and test that out for once again how that affects focus speed, all that sort of stuff, what the clarity of the images are like. So it's just I'm just putting a few ideas together for later in the year. So
nice.
Yeah, so that was a bit of fun. Plus, I got to hang out with my mate Dave for the day, who does my website. So we hung out with him and took some photos with him, which is rather nice.
Awesome.
So, it's a good day out. But other than that, not an awful lot. Yeah, the usual nano naps.
Yep.
I've kind of been missing out on them a bit. So I spent a couple of days where I spent half a day asleep.
Come back to the mic. I heard you drift away then.
I'm just fixing the cat's collar.
The cat will live. The cat will survive the length of this podcast with its collar misshapen.
No, it's hang on. Get in there. Jeez. Oh, don't attack me. No, he's got one of those cones around his head.
Oh, okay.
The head, I should say. Sorry, girl. And it was coming apart. She's sitting there enjoying the podcast with us. Yeah, next to the computer. She got bitten by a spider in between her paws, pads of her paws.
Oh,
and licking at them like crazy, and decent old bite and decent old swelling and stuff.
Yeah.
So they had to put her on antibiotics and put her on a cone so she can't wash herself.
Right. Wow.
Cool. Okay. And then I've got to force feed pills down her throat twice a day.
Oh, and that's always fun.
She loves that, of course. Those little moments we get to have a bit of a cuddle together. Yeah, and scratch the living daylights out of my arms and legs. So she can
cuddle your hands with her teeth. Yes.
Yeah. So how'd you go with your computer build, dude?
Oh man, that was the worst 2 weeks of my life. Seriously, in the last 20 years, every PC I have owned has been one that I built myself. You know, I go and buy all the components. I'll put it all together.
Which explains why we have so many problems, people, with podcasts.
I generally don't have that many problems with my PCs. So this time, what I decided was that all of the hard drives that I had were perfectly fine. I just needed to upgrade the guts of the system and mainly to deal with the video stuff that I'm doing for YouTube. So I bought a new motherboard, new CPU, new RAM, new graphics card, and I decided it was time to upgrade the case that my PC lives in, because the case that I had been using was almost 20 years old. And so I bought all these components and I brought it home and I put it all together and I powered it up. And in the what's called the BIOS, which is one of the screens that you see when you boot up, it showed me all four RAM slots on the motherboard all being populated with 8 gigs of RAM, because I bought four 8 gig sticks to have 32 gigs of RAM. And yet it was showing system RAM as 16 gigs. So for some reason, it wasn't reading all four memory banks properly. And I mucked around with it for days and days and days and couldn't work it out. And so eventually I took the whole box back to the place where I'd bought the components from. And I said, look, I suspect that there's an issue with either the motherboard or the RAM. Can you work it out and let me know? And I got an email from them a couple of days later saying, yep, faulty motherboard, only reading two of the RAM slots. We've replaced the motherboard for you. So anyway, get the system home, put all of my hard drives into it, power it up. all of my software is running perfectly except Magic's Vegas as it is now, which is the video editing app that I use. I could open all my projects, it would play back, and because the new CPU and buckets of RAM, it just played back beautifully smooth. But the problem was, every time I'd go to render, the app would crash.
Oh.
And I tried every codec imaginable, and it would crash every single time. And so eventually I just thought, there is absolutely no way around this. I am going to have to reinstall Windows from scratch and rebuild my whole software setup, from the beginning. And so that's what I've been doing over the last 48 hours, is putting all that back together. And so, yeah, so I'm finally back to an operational position with my new machine, and everything's running beautifully. So, yeah, getting there.
Man.
But also something new that's turned up in the last couple of weeks.
What's that?
Is my new camera bag from Mindshift.
Ah, yes.
Now, full disclosure, Glyn is a Mindshift ambassador, but I did not get a free bag. I did get mates rates.
But mates paid for it.
Yes, I paid for it. I got mates rates, but I still paid for it. And I'm going to say,
it was a good deal, though, wasn't it? It was a pretty good deal.
It was a great deal.
It's a great deal.
Awesome deal. So massive thanks to Andy from, he looks after Mindshift and Think Tank and a few other bits and pieces. What's his company name again?
Blonde Robot.
I knew it was something random. So, yeah, thank you, Andy. Much appreciated. But this bag...
Everything in their office has robots all around the office. It's very strange.
Okay. So this bag, I deliberately went for a smaller bag because I wanted to force myself into a position where when I travel, I have to pack lighter. Because I have been guilty in the past of just taking way too much crap on holiday with me and getting home at the end of the holiday and going, well, I didn't use that, and I didn't use that, and I never used those, and I didn't use that either. So, absolutely loving the bag.
Good. I've got exactly the same one.
You've got the bigger one though, right?
I've got both.
Oh, okay. Cool.
The small and the bigger.
Yeah. So this is an 18-litre bag, and yeah, it fits my camera, my three lenses, a flash, and a few little bits and pieces like, filter rings and stuff like that. What I do like is that idea of you buckling up the waist strap and then being able to take the shoulder straps off your shoulders and pivot the backpack around so that it's in front of you, and then the part that you open up to get to your camera is actually the bit that's normally against your back, which means people can't pinch crap from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you unzip
it... Which is why I love it when I travel.
And when you unzip it, you've got that great little, it's like a horse's feeding bag. You put the loop over your neck, and it holds the backpack open for you so that you can do your lens changes, which I think is great.
Thing flopping down on you all the time, which drives you crazy.
Means you're not having to drop your camera bag in, muddy pools of water or, if you're in some sort of, hostile environment like that.
Like London, was it London where you left?
Paris.
Paris, that's hostile environments.
Exactly.
You put your camera bag down for a minute and get distracted and it's gone.
So, I'm looking forward to taking this bag to Sri Lanka. I think it's going to be a very handy little backpack and, like I said.
Backlight 18L from memory, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah.
Well, that's the bag I use for my sort of day-to-day if I'm just going out, to shoot. So I took that the other day, but I could put two or three lenses in it, maybe a flash and a camera.
Yep.
And away you go, But I can easily pack even more than it holds an amazing amount of stuff.
It does. As I said to you before we started recording, I can fairly confidently say I don't think there's going to be too many occasions where I'm going to go back to putting all of my stuff in my Lowepro roller bag. And there's nothing against Lowepro as a product. I've loved that bag. I've had that bag for probably 8 or 9 years, and it's been an awesome bag. It is starting to show its age. It's falling apart in places. I think I can get away with, most of what I need to carry with me. I can get into this little 18-litre backpack.
Does the smaller body of your new camera help in that way?
I think it probably does a little bit, and it certainly will once I take the vertical grip off that camera.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which,
yeah.
As I said to you, I don't think I'll take the vertical grip to Sri Lanka. No. I think I'll just leave it at home. And on the odd occasion that I am shooting portrait orientation, I'll just deal with it the way most photographers do. Yeah, really liking the bag so far.
Cool. And you got the lovely green colour. What do you think of the colour?
Look, it wasn't my first choice, but that was all Andy had in stock, so it's fine. You know,
I like the green.
Do
I,
you?
It stands out too. I mean, if you're if you're in situations where I have all the time when you're on tour and you've got 15 people piling the bags into one corner, you've got 15 black bags that all kind of look the same.
Yeah, sure.
So that does have its advantages when you can see it pretty quickly.
Don't put it down in the jungle when you're on safari because you'll never find it.
That's a good point. Yeah. which is funny you should mention it, because I was walking a lot. I drove my wife into work today into the city, and going along, I saw a lady walking past wearing three completely different types of camouflage clothing. Which A is bizarre, but B, I could still see her, Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah. Really ineffective. Just know how many you wear, if I can still see you, I can still see you.
There was a great photo circling around on Facebook a few months ago of a guy wearing camouflage pants and a high-vis vest, and the caption was, "Does he want to be seen or not?"
That's funny. Well, should we get into this podcast? Because we've only got a shortish one this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
It took too long for you to get online this morning.
That's right.
I've got a luncheon date with the mum's club.
Right. Well, I'll just belt through the few things that I've got. I saw through the week the email that came in from the International Landscape Photographer Awards at internationallandscapephotographer.com. I will put the link in the show notes to the winner for a series, Adam Gibbs from Canada, a series of four images which looked fantastic. And the winner of a single image, Paul Marcellini from the USA. I admit, I had to look at this image for about 20 seconds to work out exactly what it was.
Really?
And it is a gorgeous image. Once your brain correlates what's going on, you go, oh, now I get it. That's awesome. But when you look at it at first, you're like, hang on, is this a photo illustration or what is it?
Is that the orange and bluey black ones?
Yeah.
What is it?
So what it is?
Oh, I see what it is. Yeah,
it's trees,
in
a swamp with a sunset happening behind it. So all the oranges and reds are the sunset reflecting off the water. And what you're seeing are the black parts of the trees are the bits that are at the waterline, and you're seeing the mirror imaged, so they're going up and down. And yeah, like I said, when I first looked at it, it took me about 20 seconds to kind of correlate it all together and go, oh, now I get it.
Yeah, it's nice. I recommend it's been enhanced, shall we say?
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, it's nice work, and the set of four images are okay. You know?
I like them. The first one kind of that intrigues me. I don't know what that first one is.
Well, I don't think it's a photo.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but then I thought, well, no, it must be a photo to be included get to that story.
We'll get to that.
So anyway.
Doesn't have to be a photo to be anything.
That's right. So anyway, I will put the link in the show notes.
They all look pretty darn fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the exception of the one with the trees in the snow, the sky is completely crap.
Right.
I mean, if you see that one, so you got this beautiful golden glow on the trees that's covered in snow.
Yeah.
Then the hills in the background, then a perfectly pitch black sky.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that was taken late in the evening, and that the hills in the background were actually in shadow.
Yeah, I can handle the hills being dark, but not the black sky, Bruce.
Yeah, no.
If there's enough sunlight to be doing that light on, that sky is not black.
Yeah, exactly. There should be some light in the sky.
It's way too black, and it doesn't look overly well masked. Looking, it's too solid black all the way down to the hills. We know the sky gradates down.
Yes,
it's not one solid piece of black.
Yep.
So I'm sorry if these are the four they chose as the winning. No thanks.
Yeah, fair enough. Good call.
The only one I actually like is the curved tree ones, the bottom right corner.
I like that one.
And it's the one that's probably closest to actually looking like a photo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't like the top right?
No, I was waiting for the dragon to go past.
Enough. Yeah. It does look
like
a little
illustration for some sort of fairy tale, you know?
Yeah. But which that, is but that could it, be authentic, though. I mean, given the right circumstances.
Could be. Strange how the sunbeams up the top, the most bold one up the top, isn't straight. So I'm saying, no, it's not authentic.
Isn't straight.
Yeah, look at the sunbeam. The see, there's like at the top of the frame, top right hand side.
Yeah,
there's three, but the boldest one that it's like three or four.
Oh, it kind of flares out.
Well, it kind of goes straight until it hits the big tree. Then it kind of is a bit down and slightly different angle,
yeah,
and a bit brighter. Okay. And then it kind of changes angle again after the next big tree, and then changes angle again after the next tree.
Right. Okay. All right.
It doesn't. My bullshitometer is
going
is
off.
Flaring. Yeah, it's flaring.
All right.
What I'm saying by that is what he's done. He's in post. He's lightened up those sections. He probably just hasn't quite nailed the angles. I mean, if you suffer from OCD like I do, you'll see that's off by just enough to drive you nuts.
Yeah. Right. Fair enough.
It just screams at me. It's like in my head because it's out by just a smidgen.
How's it go?
Or a smidgen.
Right.
Okay. So look, it's a lovely. Oh, I'm jealous. I can't do Photoshop work like that. So I mean, good on them and stuff. it screams. I just don't think. Yeah, we see some phenomenal landscapes in the world of the internet these days.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say any of those four, especially the two on the left, really would hold their own in any other landscape competition.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yep.
You look online, mate. And
oh, yeah.
Everything's been done phenomenally everywhere.
Yep.
And those are not phenomenal images.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Good call.
Hey, but yeah, that's the problem with judging, isn't it? If it's personal taste.
That's it. Gaz wrote in via the blog and said, thanks for the mention and answering the question. I listen to quite a few photography podcasts and I find Shutters Inc. to be the most relaxed.
Okay. I don't understand that.
No.
Because I think manic doesn't really come down and relax to the same.
Yes.
Manic and relaxed.
Yeah.
Do they fit together? I tend to agree with Gaz, though, is that everyone takes themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even people who have fun in podcasts are always bringing you back to serious.
Right.
And I'm quite proud of the fact that we very rarely get there, Bruce. we're here for a fun time, not a good time.
That's right. Say what? David Putzier wrote back and said, Putzier here again. Well, I actually listen to way more than just 10 podcasts a week. You see, I'm alone and unloved, which gives me lots.
It's the day after Valentine's Day.
I know, David.
We love you.
Which gives me lots of free time to take in podcasts of all types. Like when I'm driving to and from work alone, all day long alone at work, sitting alone at home in my office working at the computer, laying in bed alone as I drift off to sleep. Getting a bit depressed now. Thanks a lot for making me Thanks a lot for making me dredge that up. Seriously though, I have podcasts playing multiple hours a day. There is some great stuff out there. Oh, and to answer Glenn's question. Oh, you said Glenn's question.
No.
Glenn's question. These days I shoot mostly models and bands, but I'm into most types of photography except sports and wildlife. Well, hear you later. Thank you, David.
Dave, if you haven't listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, that is hilarious.
That's one of the best podcasts going around. It's fabulous.
It is fantastic.
If you like a good podcast.
Yes.
There you go.
NSFW, so if you are listening at work, do it with headphones.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth your time. Steve Peters sent us a link to petapixel.com, and this was the story about the battle is over. My Micro Four Thirds camera outsold my full-frame DSLR. The Olympus OMD EM10. Has outsold which camera?
Right, he doesn't use Canons. But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Maybe he was taking shit photos with his Canon.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he's now taking good photos with Olympus.
That's right.
You know? And, yeah, of course, that's going to outsell, isn't it?
He did his first 10,000 photos with his Canon, and now he's got his act together. He's moved to Olympus.
Yeah, it's like, don't know. There's so many reasons as to why stuff works. Maybe you're in a bit, as I don't know if we said this last week or whatever it was, but if you want to take better photos, stand in front of more interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe he's standing in front of more interesting stuff and people want to buy that. Maybe he's honed his skill about what sells and what doesn't sell, and he's taking more of that style of image and less of the ones that don't sell, and therefore they're outselling. Mm. I mean, there's so many reasons as to what. To say that a camera is doing that is bull twang.
Yep.
You know? Yep.
At the risk of, you know, having the fingers pointed right back at me, I would say if you want to take better photos, take more photos. Because, you know, the more you practice, the better you will get. And I know I'm guilty of, you know, not living by that.
Take photos of.
Well,
I would say that's accurate in sport.
Okay.
Yeah, the more you shoot sport, the better you're going to get at it with timing and stuff like that.
But I honestly think it would apply to all genres. Like if you spend enough time, as long as you
have time, you have to take more photos. Spend more time, but not necessarily take more photos.
Okay.
To me, a very big difference. I would take more photos in sport because many of these guys are shooting. A good sports guy is shooting 10 frames a second. So straight away, you're going to be shooting more photos.
Okay, fair enough.
Whereas spending more time involved in the process of shooting, yes, taking more photos, not necessarily. You don't need 400 photos from a one-hour model shoot.
Sure.
You need three or four good ones, you know, or two good ones, you know. And from those two good ones, you're better off only taking 10 photos to get them than taking 400 to get two.
Yes.
Sometimes less is more. Less means that you've looked at the situation, you've solved the problems, you've worked out all the kinks, you've worked on the posing and all that stuff that takes time to do.
Yeah,
that is not photographing.
Yeah,
and then once you've done all that, how many photos of that once you've set it up perfectly do you need to take?
Yeah,
a couple.
Yeah,
you know, realistically, and then you know, walk around it. Can you shoot it from other angles? But where with wildlife and sport and et cetera, you can certainly say, well, you're going to need to be shooting an awful lot more actual frames, and that will help you get better. But I don't think taking more photos of models, taking more photos of landscape.
Okay, yeah, no, you've nailed it. I didn't choose my words correctly,
I'm pedantic that way. Yeah,
hey,
I'm pedantic that way. Yeah. I think it's an important
If I could rephrase it, I would say spend more time with a camera in your hands, like actually,
if you're working posing your model, your camera can be over on a shelf.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you're setting someone up, let's say by a window to do a window portrait, you don't need your camera in your hand.
Okay.
So you've reworded it and you're still stuffed up. I mentioned pedantic.
I think
more,
you might have.
I would say more involved in the process of seeing.
Okay.
Okay. So, which you can do with or without camera, which you can do with or without taking photos.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be taking photos to be seeing.
Okay.
Just being involved in the process.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. People take too many photos, Bruce. I mean, it's too easy to take too many to go on a shoot and take 400 photos of a girl.
Yeah.
And because you've taken so many, you haven't taken as much time setting stuff up. People spend 1 minute setting up a shot and 5 minutes shooting it.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the opposite of what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, it takes hundredths of a second, thousandths of a second to take a shot.
Yeah.
You don't need very many.
Yeah.
This workshop I did the other day, we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different setups.
Yep.
Took 11 photos.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah. Because we spent all the time that was necessary in setting up the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, when you actually press the button, the photo was what you expected it to be and it looked good and the exposure was what it needed to be and so on. Yeah.
Nice.
There's no need to keep shooting the same scene over and over again and having multitudes of almost the same shot.
Yeah, right. All right. Adam sent us a few stories. The first one was from Petapixel. Man can't explain why prize-winning photo is identical. Say what?
I saw that one. I can't explain why the photo I put in the photo contest is exactly the same as somebody else's.
Yes. And this is a little bit related to another story we're going to cover a bit later, so I'm just going to put the link in the show notes and we're going to move on. The next one was, again, from Petapixel about Kodak's film business on the brink of being sold. The Kodak film business is reportedly up for sale. Kodak Alaris is said to be looking to sell part of or all of its business, and its film business in particular could be sold to another company within the next month or two. Okay.
Yeah, well, so it doesn't really matter.
No, exactly.
The whole,
well, come
the whole
back to us when it's done.
No, but the whole word is in there, Kodak Alaris.
Right.
The company's in Kodak. It's Alaris.
Okay.
Who bought the name Kodak. Yeah, who bought Kodak.
Right.
So we're talking about a company that bought a company is looking at selling the company they bought to another yeah. company. It's not like Kodak are going. It's like the people who have already bought them years ago are going.
Yeah, and the fact that they're looking to sell it means nothing.
Yeah.
Just because
yeah.
you're looking to sell it doesn't mean there's a buyer that wants to take it.
Exactly right.
So, yeah, come back to us when it's actually sold.
With this resurgence of film,
yeah.
you never know.
Oh, absolutely.
As a niche market, for sure.
Absolutely. The next one Adam sent us was from DIYphotography.net. If you use Premiere Pro on a MacBook Pro.
I heard this. I didn't actually see the
now. It could blow your speakers.
Why is that all about?
Look, I was going to post a snide remark when I saw
Apple.
This. No, about the number of video people that I see editing video who pay zero attention to their audio levels.
Oh.
But it certainly sounds pretty scary if you do own a MacBook Pro and you use Premiere Pro for your video editing. So, yeah. If you fall into both of those camps, you are an owner of a MacBook Pro and you use Premiere Pro, then you definitely want to check this out if you haven't already heard about it.
Mm.
So I don't know what the deal is. I was working on a project. MacBook volume was on half when suddenly an audio bug occurred with really loud screeching noise not letting me pause it. After it stopped, the speakers were really quiet, and after the next restart, they're clearly blown. Initially, I blamed the hardware, though the same thing happened a day later with my Sony 1000X M3 headphones. Luckily, the headphones are okay, but that did give me a heart attack. Wow.
Man.
So I don't know what's going on there. It sounds like it might be a software bug related to Premiere Pro, but yeah, if you're in that camp, definitely keep an ear and an eye on that story. The next one from Adam was... ProGrade Digital's Recovery Pro can save lost raw photos. This was on petapixel.com.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this would be very similar to, like, the SanDisk recovery.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it is, yeah. I just don't know whether, never having had to use them, whether the other ones don't recover raw files or not. I couldn't imagine why they wouldn't.
No.
Why this is anything special or different.
Yeah.
But
so is this free software or is it software you've got to buy? Oh, it's available for $50 for a 12-month subscription.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, I guess
you're going to be losing photos a lot to get the value. I mean, save you one time, it's worth a fortune.
Well, that's the thing. And I guess if you are having to, you know, if the other competitors in this field of software are more expensive to buy outright, then maybe just buying a 12-month subscription at $50 is a better economic point of view if you only need it that one time. Of course, if you are the sort of person who habitually loses their images, then you might be better off owning the software outright. So, I don't know. And the last one from Adam, and this, you know, has certainly been the story of the week within Australia. Lisa Sard is a well-known Melbourne photographer who has absolutely cleaned up in photographic awards in this country over the last 3 to 4 years. And over the last... Yeah, the last week or so, it has come to light that she's been guilty of using other photographers' works in her photographic illustrations, because a lot of her work is illustrative in nature. It's not a single image shot in camera. They're composites of lots of different images. And when the initial story broke, the thinking was that it was just this one occurrence where she had used the work of a Dutch photographer.
Yeah, Marcel.
And it has since come to light that multiple images that she has submitted to competitions over the last 4 or 5 years and has won awards on have not only used works of other photographers but have been included stock photography and that she has
clip art
and that she's been using or compiling groups of images and artwork and selling these to her students and telling her students that they are able to use these works because it's all her photography, and that has not actually been the case. It's quite a revealing blog post on stopstealingphotos.com and quite a sad story. And it's just, it seems like the can of worms that has no bottom to it.
So first up, Lisa's a fellow Tamron ambassador.
Okay.
So I know Lisa. Secondly, yeah, it does not look good.
Right.
And across many, many, many areas of her photographs. It doesn't look very good for the people judging the photographs that, which in some photos are very clearly not original. No, they don't look like photos. There's one with a particular one with a balloon. It looks nothing like nothing but clip art. It never look like anything that was ever photographic. And yet they're judging these as photos, and it makes kind of a mockery of the whole process. I mean, some of the categories that Lisa's photos won awards in, she was a judge in those competitions.
What?
Now, she'd step away for her own images, obviously, but she was a judge in some of the categories.
Right.
One of her book, one of the judges that got the book, book of the year, was the guy who wrote the foreword to the book. Yeah. So there's lots of stuff going there. Now, before we even get into any of the nitty-gritty of it, I want to say that we never know what motivates people, okay?
Sure.
We don't know what underlying stresses, what underlying pressures that life have put on somebody that would make someone take a path that could never, ever not at some stage be found out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, there's no way eventually this wouldn't be spotted. I mean, because the image that the guy who say, this is my work, I've actually seen that image prior to all this stuff coming out. Oh, that's a really cool photo. And I've seen Lisa's image and going, oh, that looks familiar. But it never clicked because I couldn't remember the previous photo.
Right.
But I'd seen both pieces of art and straight away I made the connection. So if someone as dumb as me can make that connection, there's a lot smarter folk on the planet who would have no problem picking that out.
Yeah.
So my underlying thing is, well, first up, my first concern is mental health of Lisa.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, she done the wrong thing, but that's somewhat irrelevant as far as we're humans first. Let's worry about that because that's more important.
Sure.
My second concern goes out to the people who failed to win that award because someone else beat them to it.
Yeah.
And what successes could their career maybe have had? Yeah, could they have got some sponsorships? Could they have got some more recognition? Could that have led to a better lifestyle for them? So great concern. And Lisa's photos are now being every award she's ever won is now being scrutinized to see whether it's going to hold up or not. So we're talking lots and lots of people have been affected by coming second.
Yeah.
You know, and consequently third, fourth, fifth, and so on down the track.
Yeah,
you know,
of
it's
course.
It's a big difference between experience saying I came third in a competition, then I came fourth. You know, all these little things make a difference.
Totally.
Yeah. I was in the top three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as a podcast, we're in the top 16 best world podcasts. I don't know. Being number six, top three kind of sounds good. Top 16, So my primary concern is, A, the human being at the centre of it.
Sure.
The people, I guess actually maybe I should say, no, I won't say. Definitely the second one would be the people who've missed out. And the third one would, and a far lesser concern, is the people who had their images used.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, I don't care.
Yep.
Yeah. Marcel, the guy who sort of brought this all up, it didn't affect him.
Right.
It didn't impact him financially, other than that Lisa didn't pay him to use the image.
Yeah.
It didn't impact him emotionally, physically, mentally, financially. Her winning an award in Australia didn't affect him in Denmark or wherever he's from, you know.
Sure.
The person who made the clip art of the tree hasn't been affected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, they would like to have had some of that money, but it's not an emotional turmoil. It's not, my God, the worst thing's ever happened to somebody in their life. There's a lot more important things in life than that.
Yeah.
So they take maybe a fourth or fifth concern down the track. But my biggest ancillary thing outside the human element is just, and we've been arguing this point for a couple of years about how you can't enter a photo competition anymore with any confidence that a photo is going to be judged as a photo against another photo.
Yeah.
Because Lisa's work is – and Lisa's a fabulous photoshopist.
It's, yeah.
Nothing away from her. She's fabulous at Photoshop. And her imagination and her – and there's something to be said about her imagination, because someone put up a blog post of very, very similar images from someone doing it 5 years before her.
Right.
Very, very similar looking sort of style. But still to be able to do it, even to be able to replicate or, you know, come to post to somebody else's style is a fair bit of effort and skill.
Yeah.
So, but it's there's all these competitions that people enter in good faith. And we've seen it where, you know, a piece of string with some cloth, was it New Zealand or something, some carpet hanging over a piece of string won an award.
Right.
For sculpture or something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got it. Yeah, I have no problem with illustration, art illustration that includes photo elements, just not judged against a photo.
Yeah, yeah.
A photo is a photo. Yeah. And I have no problem with composite photographs using all photo elements, as long as it still maintains a photographic look.
Yeah,
not an illustrative look. So I think competitions worldwide are going to suffer quite a bit. We've seen this as with a lot of the portrait prizes. The lady who had a scratch negative and spit from a grandma, you know, who won an award, and that won a portrait prize.
You know what I would like to see?
You winning something?
No, is a photographic competition where Photoshop or other post processing is allowed, but the original image must have been shot raw, and the raw file must be submitted with the processed work so that the judges can see how much work was done on it.
I would say maybe for the finalists. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to have to go through that mess. If you have 10,000 photos submitted, you wouldn't want to do that. But, yeah, when it comes down to the shortlists they all have, these things all have a shortlist before they do the finals. And the shortlist process would then be, now you need to supply your original works that went into the compilation of this or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that would stop straight away any of this plagiarism, because you wouldn't be able to provide a raw file of something you didn't shoot.
Exactly. But it just should be that's a condition of entry into the competition.
If you're shortlisted,
yep.
You must provide the elements that were put together to, yeah. And I'm sure there's competitions out there that have that exact
requirement.
Requirement, yeah. And it just makes sense. Yeah, if nothing else, for the organisers, so the AIPP, who's awarded her a lot of these awards, and have now stripped her of her, I think it was Commercial Photography of the Year award. I'll just pull up that one. But she's only been stripped of one major award.
Right.
And this has made major, actual mainstream newspapers now. So that's coming out there. She's been stripped of her 2018 Australian Commercial Photographer of the Year award.
Right.
And that's just the first of possibly many going down. But so it makes the AIPP look bad.
Yep.
That they're put in this position where things don't look good. If they had these contingencies, once you get to the short list, you must provide blah blah blah. Yep. It's going to make people not enter who aren't on the up and up, and they would cover themselves.
Yeah.
And if you're down to the last 10, let's say, that's not an awful lot of work for a committee to look at.
No, of course not.
It could be a cursory glance,
yep,
just to see that, hey, they've got all the elements that were necessary to make this thing happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think it's realistic to say, we're going to have a photo competition where the only thing you can submit is the raw file, because quite often, you want to straighten horizons, you want to clean up dust spots, you want to increase contrast, and all of that kind of stuff is absolutely legitimate, which is why I think you should be allowed a certain amount of post-processing just to present the image, but it should be a requirement that, you provide the raw file as well, so that it can be beyond any argument that this is an image I shot.
Exactly. I mean, photography is a wonderful art form, and you can express that in lots of different ways in suitable categories. Now, Lisa was the girl who won the award a couple of years ago for Portrait of the Year, which was that black circle with some black trees and some people skipping. Now, how many of those elements weren't hers?
Yeah.
But that was a portrait prize, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know? I have no problem with them. It's just it was a nicely composited piece of work.
Yes.
But it doesn't belong to me. It can't belong in that category.
No.
Yeah. Have we gone too far in trying to be, wow, look how different we are?
Yeah.
Then, wow, let's celebrate a beautiful image.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should watch this as it develops over the next couple of weeks because it's certainly not going to end right now.
No.
And, I hope that Lisa's mental health is being looked after by people.
Yep.
And because it's not good.
No. And I would imagine that all of this, you know, in whatever shape it falls out from here on forward, is probably going to have a fairly nasty negative impact on her business.
Well, you could imagine, absolutely. I mean, or if there's anything left at the end of that, exactly.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, mate, I better let you go because I know you've got other commitments.
I've got lunch with the ladies.
Excellent. Well, you have fun.
Oh, well, mate.
And we will talk with you next week.
Next week. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.